of the Gospel of John in chapter 4, and but we're not going to show that. We're not going to show that just yet. Okay. Let me pop that there. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your life. Thank you for your grace, Lord. Thank you, Father, for who you are. Thank you for your Father heart, that, Lord, you're not here to condemn us, Lord, but you're here to encourage us, to build us up. Lord, that when we leave here, Lord, today, Lord, I pray, Father, we will have a spring in our step, hope in our hearts, Father God. And, Lord, we can do what you have called us to do. We can do the impossible, Lord. Father, I pray, Lord, for those that are here today, Lord, that might have those dreams, even just a flicker of a dream, Lord. Lord, that they want to own their own home one day. Lord, even perhaps their own car, Father God. Lord, perhaps, Lord, even starting up that business, Lord, that they've had for a long time, they've been sitting on it, been brooding over it. Father, I pray that you'll bring life today. I pray that you'll bring your favor and your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. So my story begins, can I have my water, please? I'll need that because I will get thirsty. I'm a very thirsty man. Who gets thirsty here? Anybody? I've got to be drinking water all the time. Always. I'm a cyclist, and they say when you cycle, for every hour you do, you've got to drink 1 litre of water. When I don't cycle, I need half of that. I just drink. Just love it. So just let me encourage you all, especially now with summer coming, make sure you're drinking water. That's just common sense. That's not the Spirit of God, doesn't have to tell you that. It's just common sense. That's just something that we do. Especially here in Australia. This is a crazy country. Crazy weather. Super, super hot. So over the last, you know, last month we've been talking about what are we here for. And so I shared similar to this at Fremantle, and I've been asked to share this again down here. And so in John chapter 4, verse 5, there's the story of Jesus who's in Judea, and he's heading to Galilee. So on his way, he has to go through Samaria. And so from Judea to Samaria is about 52 kilometres. And he goes past this village, and this little town called Sychar, and he's with his disciples. And after walking 52 kilometres, you'd be tired and you'd be thirsty, wouldn't you? And so Jesus sits down by this well, and he says to his disciples, "You guys go on ahead, go into town, go get yourself some food, bring me back some KFC." Wonder what they did back then. Wonder what they were selling on the streets, you know. So, you know, go get yourself some food and then head back here. I'll be here. So while Jesus is sitting at the well, a woman comes up, and she's a Samaritan. And she comes up with her bucket to get water. And Jesus says to her, "Can you please give me a drink?" And she's shocked and horrified that he's speaking to her, because she's a Samaritan. And these Samaritans, they're part Arab and they're part Jew. So they're a mixed breed, and you don't talk to them. That was the culture of the day. You just don't have anything to do with them. So she's in shock. How come you're speaking to me, you know? And Jesus goes on, and this is just the love of God, isn't it? The love of God. It doesn't matter what culture, what background. Humanity, God loves humanity. And this is a great picture of the Father heart of God through Jesus Christ. The people say to me, "What is God like?" I tell them, "Well, you read about Jesus. If you read the life of Jesus, see how he interacted with people and what he was like, you'll see God the Father. That's who he is. Jesus is God." So anyway, before I go any further, can I just say something to the musicians? And when I say musicians, I mean the whole music department, the guys at the back and the musos. I know last time I was here, I said to you that you've just on another level now. You are just so good. Really, it's beautiful. Richard, I know you're the worship leader, and well done to you and your team. All of this, honestly, I know I said it last time, but I'm saying it again. That was beautiful today. That was really, really good. Well done. Pat yourselves on the back. Come on. Church, let's give them a hand. Come on. I think it's really good to go into a church and during worship time and through singing, there's just clarity and there's the presence of God. It's just lovely. So my story. So Jesus, the woman is talking to Jesus and says, how come, you know, you shouldn't be speaking to me? And Jesus, his reply to her is, well, if you knew me and knew who I am, I would give you water. And she says, well, you can't. You've got no bucket. But Jesus, I would give you living water, better water than this. Well, this water here, we've been drinking out of this for years, hundreds and hundreds of years. This is Jacob's well. We've drunk out of this. The animals have drunk out of this. And Jesus goes on to say to her, well, the water I'm talking about is living water. It's everlasting. It's everlasting life. This is another water, and this is something that comes from God, you know. And so the woman, she's quite perplexed by him, and she begins to talk about Jerusalem and the New Jerusalem and the church, and then the Lord begins to speak to her and say to her that things are changing. What's going to happen is that there's going to be those who are going to be worshipping me in spirit and in truth. They're going to be worshipping me in their heart. I am not someone who is confined to the tabernacle, the synagogue. You're not going to just find me in the tabernacle. I'll be everywhere. I'm everywhere. In fact, when we pray, our Father, who art in heaven, sometimes in our minds, we go to a place, don't we? We think God in heaven is somewhere on the throne. But our Father who art in heaven is our Father who art here. You're everywhere here. This is it. This is it. This is heaven. So she's quite amazed talking to this man. And then the conversation begins about Jesus says to her about giving her living water. And they talk about her husband. She says, I've been married. She says to him, I've been married 5 times. I'm not married. But you're living with a man. I know you've been married 5 times, but thank you for being truthful, but you're now living with a man. And now she says to him, are you a prophet? There's something about you that is just, whoa, maybe this is the Messiah. And in the conversation, she picks up that, wow, this man is someone different. He is, you know. So eventually she goes back to her village and she tells everybody about this man. She says, this man said everything about me. There must have been more in the conversation, which we don't see in the word, that he must have said a lot more about her than what we just see. But what's amazing is that she'd been married 5 times and she had 5 husbands. Anyone here up to husband number 5? 4? 3, number 3, okay, number 2, number 1, oh, I've got more husbands than you, I've had more, we have a competition, so what happens, so what I want to share here about, you know, in life, we have many relationships, husband and wife, friendships, And we think the more friends we've got, the better it is. I want to get married, then I'll be happy, then I'll be fulfilled, you know. And in marriage, it does fulfill a part of your life. There's no doubt about it. But let me tell you that relationships aren't the be-all and end-all. The greatest relationship you can have in life is your relationship with Jesus Christ. That's where you're going to find the most. That's where you're going to find satisfaction. Everything else after that is really a bonus. And so you could be single today, or you could be married, and you think that your expectation is that your husband's supposed to fulfill everything, everything. Or you might be thinking that your wife is supposed to fulfill everything that you, but it ain't going to happen. That's just not the case. Because there's this emptiness in our lives. There's this thirst in here that we try to fulfill, and only Jesus Christ can fulfill that. Our relationship with Him, our connection with Him. That's the only thing. Got to get that right first. Get connected to Jesus Christ first, and let everything else after that flow out of that. That is where our satisfaction comes from. So if you've been a bit like this woman, you could be a male or female today, and you've been looking in the wrong place to get satisfied, well, I want to encourage you today that Jesus Christ, He is the living water. I just want to share this story with you. I work for C3 Fremantle, and we have a charity called Port Care. So it's like a big Salvo store, Good Sammy store, massive. It's food, clothing, and furniture. Okay. So through that, we run community lunches. We help people out with food parcels, fruit and veggie parcels as well. And it's also a business. Obviously, that's how we are sustainable. So through this, we invite people to come to our community lunches as well. And so I've been inviting this gentleman to come to our community lunch. We have a mini service there as well. We share the word of God. We have testimonies. We do share in other things as well, just things about life. We have dietitians come. We have, nurse. We've had nurses come and talk. So this gentleman, I'd invited to come along to our lunch week after week after week, and he just never came. I said, look, I'll pick you up, you know. Okay, sure. So I'll ring him that morning, and oh, no, I can't, you know. So after a while, you just go, okay, he doesn't want to come, you know. So you just let it go. Then a few weeks later, we started at 12. He rocked up at about 20 past 12 with a carer. And so I was so blessed to see him. Hey, John, great to see you, mate, you know. So anyway, so he stayed, and we ate. We had the word of God shared. And about quarter past one, his carer had to go. I've got to go, John. I can't stay any longer. I've got to go to my next appointment. So, well, I'm not going. I want to stay here. And so he stays. And some of the community said, oh, look, we'll organise for you to get a lift home. Don't worry. And so it was quite a busy day. I'd said to the guys who, the team that were looking at organising a lift for him to get home, I said, let me know if you can't take him. Last resort, I'll take him. That's fine. So 1:30 we finished, and I had to go upstairs and see our accountant, just chatting about stuff about Port Care, signing things, blah, blah, blah. And I had an appointment at 2 o'clock to go to meet someone at the store. And so I've gone upstairs. I don't know how long I was up there for. Then I head downstairs, and he's there. The place is half deserted. There's a few people just cleaning up in the kitchen, and he's there. So, okay, John, let's go. I'll take you home. So we get into the car, and he says to me, oh, can we just stop over the road here at the shops? I just want to get a packet of cigarettes. And I'm like pressing for time. Really pressing, under pressure. And I'm like, oh, why am I in my head? I didn't say this to him. I was like so frustrated. Oh God, I can't stop there. That place is busy. I'm going to be there for another. I could be waiting outside for 10 minutes. You know, by the time he goes in there, gets served, comes out, find a parking, you know. And so I says, oh, look, let's go to Port Care and then I'll take you home later. So we're traveling. We head up Lefroy Road. And I just started to just go, hey, John, I'm going to pull in over here and let's get you a packet of cigarettes. This is a different shopping centre. It's a bit quieter. Let's go in here. So I'm really sorry to be a pain in the, you know what? You know, okay, John, it's okay. You're not a pain. And so anyway, as he's going into the store, I'm just winding down and I'm going, Charlie, just chill. It's okay. This bloke can wait. It's not super important, you know. So he gets into the car. I says, John, I'm going to take you home. And okay. And so I'm really relaxed about all this, not frustrated, just chilling, driving him home. And then he starts to just open up with me and starts telling me about why he's got this carer. And part of the reason why he's got the carer, that he's been suicidal. And I look at him. Driving, John, why do you want to, not that he's suicidal, he's tried, thankfully he didn't succeed, and I'm like, John, why, you know, well, you know, I'm a carpenter, I was a builder, things were going really well, then I had this fall, and then he started to tell me, and, you know, and he showed me some scars, and I thought, wow, okay. So then I began just to say to him, look, just encourage him in life and encourage him to join Men's Shed, who are men that work with wood. And then we get closer to his home, we pull up, and then he starts to share more with me about when he was a child and how he was suffered sexual abuse. And so now I'm like, whoa, wow. Now I'm just listening to him and, look, I'm really sorry to hear this. I said, look, would you like me to pray for you? I just didn't know what else to do. And I wasn't that's just one of the best things I could do. So he said, Annie, yeah, I'd love you to pray for me. Okay, so I prayed for him. Then I just shared a little bit about Jesus, a bit more, and I said, would you like to receive Jesus into your heart? He said, yes, I would. And so I said, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, forgive me my sins. And he starts to repeat that. I just said, pray with your heart, you know. And then when you're praying with someone, then he interrupts. He goes, Charlie, I've done some pretty bad things. Like, do you think Jesus can forgive me? Yep, look, he can forgive you, no worries, but let's pray. So we start praying. Hang on, Charlie, that really bad. I've done some dark things. I says, look, nothing is too dark. Nothing is too deep that God cannot forgive. Okay, so we prayed. And so we parted. And I've seen him since, saw him the week after, and well, that week actually. That was the Friday, saw him, was either Wednesday, Thursday, and he was doing really, really well. And still see him every week, he's doing great. So, as I reversed out, I was just awestruck. And I was a bit angry with myself as well. And I was just said to myself, I says, Charlie, you can never ever be too busy for people. You just cannot be too busy for people. You've got to stop. You just got to look. You got to listen. Just steady down. And as I'm driving away, literally I'm probably driving about 3 kilometres an hour up this side street, not the main road. I'm just praying, and I said, Lord, thank you. Lord, just tell me, don't ever let me be too busy for people. It was just something, it was a real awakening for me to and realize that people matter. People matter. You matter. Your son matters. Your children matter. Your father matters. Your mother matters. Your community matters. Your workmates, your work colleagues, wherever you are, your sporting club that you're involved with, they all matter. People matter. Yeah? People matter. God loves people. God loves them. So can we have a look at John chapter 4, verse 34 and 35? Can we read this together? Can we read this together? Okay. At the count of two. One, two. Then Jesus spoke up and said, "My food is to be doing the will of him who sent me and bring it to completion." As the crowds emerged from the village, Jesus said to the disciples, "Why would you say the harvest is another hour, another 4 months away? Look at all the people coming. Now is the harvest time, for their hearts are like vast fields of ripened grain, ready for a spiritual harvest." Ever since the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the harvest has been ready. There's people ready for the harvest. When this lady went back to the village and she told all the people about what Jesus said to her, these people ran looking for this person who they believed could be the Messiah. And eventually, when they came back and they spoke to the lady, they said to her, "This man," you've got to read that whole passage. Try and read that whole chapter 4. It's really quite amazing. They said to her, "We believe not only what he said to you, but what we have seen and what we have heard. We believe that he is the Savior of the world. He is the Savior of the world." How amazing. How beautiful. What a beautiful picture. Sometimes we think, oh, he's not ready, she's not ready. Sometimes when you're sharing, or someone could be a prickly person, don't give up. Persist. Be loving, be kind. Just persist. Don't. It's okay. Sometimes they might react, but generally when they're reacting, because there's something that could be deep that they're hurt about. And just keep loving, be kind. You know, it's easy to love people that love you, isn't it? No, it's really easy to love Sharmini and Jason and the kids. All, you know, it's easy. It's easy. But what about when people show some resistance, or they're unkind to you, or that's when the rubber hits the road. It's easy to love my wife. Very easy. Sometimes it does get a bit. There's times things do happen. And you think, I've never ever denied my love for her. I love you, you know I love you. Of course things happen and things get grindy. That's love is tenacity. Love is when you're angry with each other or something is just not working, love is being committed and grinding it out. Just like the Richmond Football Club. Last night, who won the grand final. Did you see that game? That was love for one another. They just grinded it out. They were behind at half time. And they just grinded it out for each other. They just fought tooth and nail. And they won in the end. You know, maybe you're having a tough time with your mother, your father. We can't choose them. But hey, they're not going to be there forever. Just keep loving them. Be kind. Be kind to them. Show love. Go out of your way for them. And so that is, so people matter. Every person that comes across your path, just please remember that they matter. There is no barrier. All can receive God's love. Everyone can know God's love. Everyone can be forgiven. Everyone can be changed. Everyone can be an agent of change. Everyone can live and die with purpose. The gospel story is for everyone, and you and I are the carriers of this water. You and I are. Sometimes you don't have to preach a really heavy word to people. Really, you don't. Sometimes it's just being kind. We have people that come to our Friday community, they just can't believe how kind and beautiful people are. They're just like, they just can't believe it. They're just shocked. Because most people today are out for what they can get. And when you counterculture that and you're showing love and kindness, it's amazing. We've had people who may not come into our organization with the paperwork to get help, that we just help them without that. Really, will you do that? Are you really, really? And the tears I see. I had a lady who would come and she was so embarrassed. And she'd come to me and she would say, can I get a jar of coffee? Can I have some sugar? We'd give it to her. And over time, she was coming in and I could just see that there was something going on. We would just give it to her. No questions asked, just give it to her. And then this woman came in she came in months and months ago, and she said, oh, look, I'd like to volunteer here. I said, yeah, sure. You're welcome. So she introduced her to Katie. Katie did the orientation with her, and she comes in every week. About the fourth, fifth week, she says to me, she goes, do you remember me? She says, I know I've seen you before, but I didn't quite remember you. I've seen your face, but I just... Because you used to help me. I used to come in here and you used to help me. It's because I've come back because I want to give back. And since then, you know, she's told me about how many children she has. You know, she's married. We just don't know what's going on in people's worlds. Please don't. Don't judge people. I had a woman once come in. She looked amazing. She looked fantastic. And she wanted help. And I thought, this is in my head. This is the early days. And I thought, no way. You're doing all right. Just by looking at her. I said, look, I need a referral from Centrelink. So she left. I thought, she won't be back. Seriously, I did. I thought, she won't be back. Within the hour and a half, she was back. I thought, wow, she is unemployed. So anyway, we helped with a parcel. I took it out to a car. And just in the car park, she started telling me a bit about her life. Divorced, the husband wasn't helping, she'd just been struggling, and that was the truth. I ended up connecting her with a lady in our church who helped her, but she told me later, because we stayed in touch, and whenever I would see her, she'd see me, and because she'd come in on a, not every regular basis, but on occasionally, and she'd would always thank me. But she was a woman who was suicidal, who when she had purchases, when she went and bought clothing and accessories, she would go to op shops. That's how she could afford things. She looked so good because she'd buy from op shops. And here I am thinking, I judge wrongly. And from that day I said, I learned something, a valuable lesson. Don't never judge a book by its cover. Never. I was so wrong. I was so repentful. And praise God for that, eh? God's good. So, can I have the music team up, please? So the gospel story is for everyone. People matter. You know, we may not be in full-time ministry, but we are all full-time ministers. No one is beyond redemption. We all have a God-given purpose. Sometimes it just gets lost along the way. A couple of years ago, I went for a ride with some friends, and we rode this heritage trail on these mountain bikes. And this heritage trail was an old railway line that went through the John Forrest National Park, up through Parkerville. Who's been there? Who's seen that? And it goes through these beautiful suburban parks as well. It's got the old platforms. You know how you used to embark onto a train? Today you've got the old, you've got the beautiful modern things. These were the old timber, beautiful Jarrah. And somebody had a vision to restore this old heritage trail that goes for miles and miles and miles. You walk through beautiful forests, there's water, there's suburbia, there's beautiful cafes along the way. You can steal some of the names of the stations, and just a beautiful experience. Just really, really lovely. And you know, for you and I believe God wants us to help people get restored back to God, but also back onto these tracks and enjoy life. God wants you to have your best life. God wants people in our community to have their best life. And God calls us to help people get back on track, to enjoy life, to have abundant life. God calls you and even for you to have abundant life. There's no doubt about it. God wants you to enjoy life. He does.